Well, this is Dr. Stan back here with Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, and, well, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please don't call unless we ask for calls, because we have with us this afternoon Barbara Lowe Fisher from the Vaccine Center. And Barbara's been at this for a long, long time, trying to educate people about the problems with certain of the vaccines. Barbara, thank you so very much for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
Well, now, tell us a little bit about what's unfolding as far as various vaccines are concerned. I got a call from a woman this morning that told me that she had a three-year-old child who couldn't walk, who couldn't talk, couldn't do anything, and I think she really thinks it's related to the vaccines. She said that the child doesn't have normal myelination of the nerves. Have you ever heard of anything like that from vaccines?
Well, I have, and actually today I was very distressed to see that there's been a new vaccine which has been prematurely licensed by the FDA. It's something called ProQuad. It's manufactured by Merck. It's combining four live viruses into one vaccine. That is measles, mumps, rubella, chickenpox viruses. And the MMR vaccine, the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine that we've been using for many years, has the ability to cause brain inflammation in children, seizures, and brain inflammation. In fact, the peak days for that reaction is between 8 and 14 days after vaccination. The chickenpox vaccine also has the ability to cause inflammation and seizures, and they're combining all four of these vaccines now into one vaccine. And we will no doubt have cases of children who will suffer brain damage following that combination vaccine.
Why are they so intent upon creating the pool vaccine? Why don't they just give one insult to the body at a time? Why do they want to insult it with four different viruses?
Well, I believe the press release by the company that manufactures it is, there was a quote in there, that it's convenient. It will result in higher vaccination rates, more coverage with these vaccines, and that seems to be the main thrust of the policy, is to get everyone to take these vaccines at the same time. No matter, you know, there's no really respect for biodiversity. The fact that we're not all the same, we don't present the same at vaccination. Some of us are sick. Some of us have had previous vaccine reactions. Some of us have a as yet unidentified genetic vulnerability to not being able to handle one or more vaccines, particularly when you're combining vaccines. What I was shocked about this particular vaccine that has just been licensed in the last 48 hours is that they only studied about 5,800 kids. And that's not very many children. They followed them up for a year. And the way they supposedly proved safety and efficacy with this vaccine, but I'm particularly concerned about safety, is they compared a group of children who received this experimental vaccine, this four live viruses in one vaccine, and they compare it against children who received the MMR vaccine, that is 3-in-1, and the chickenpox vaccine separately. So you were comparing vaccinated children to vaccinated children, all of which were getting the same vaccines. This would have earned me an F in an eighth grade science class. We all know that when you want to find out something about an unknown, you compare it against a placebo. Now, they could have covered these other children in the group that they only gave a placebo to, a true placebo to. So you were comparing the new vaccine against children who were not being vaccinated at that point. They could have vaccinated them later with the MMR and chickenpox vaccine, or even ProQuad.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Barbara Fisher talking about another new vaccine and what harm it may do. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Barbara Lowe Fisher from the Vaccine Center back in Washington, D.C., or thereabouts, and she's been in this battle for many years, trying, of course, to get people to question what is happening with the vaccines. Today, one in six American children has a neurodevelopmental or behavioral abnormality. We have so many children who have very, very real problems. We have rising rates of autism. We have rising rates of asthma. We have rising rates of autoimmune disease. And the government says we don't know why all these things are happening, but we can assure you that vaccines are safe. And, oh, my goodness, look at all the good that they've done. Well, how do you respond to something like that, Barbara?
Well, I think that we really have to take a look at the most highly vaccinated population in the entire world, and that's the U.S., the children in the United States. We use more vaccines than any other country, and we have higher vaccination rates than most countries. Very stringent mandatory vaccination laws. In the last 25 years, as we've more than doubled the number, almost doubled the numbers of doses of vaccines we give our children, we have seen a huge rise in the number of children who are chronically ill and disabled. We have seen a tripling of diabetes, asthma, learning disabilities, attention deficit, hyperactivity disorder. We've seen a 200 to 7,000% increase in autism in every state. We are, our children, we're approaching a 20% chronically ill and disabled child population. Now, what does that say for all of us who have done exactly as these physicians and public health officials have told us to do? We've gotten our children all of these vaccines. And no, we're not seeing cases of measles. We're not seeing cases, as many cases of chickenpox and mumps and rubella. But we are, our children, instead of having these acute infectious diseases in childhood and 99.9% of them recovering without any sequelae, without any permanent damage or dying, our children now, so many of them, one in six, as you said, developmentally delayed. I just read that one in six now have asthma. This is an unacceptable chronic illness and disability rate in our children. And there is no credible explanation coming from our health authorities as to why this is true.
But they assure us that they know it's not the vaccines, but they just don't know what it's coming from.
Well, you know, when you have a body like the Institute of Medicine at the National Academy of Sciences last spring declaring that there should be no more research into the link between vaccines and autism, I would say that was an extremely irresponsible stance.
Hold that thought right there, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Barbara Lowe Fisher. And of course, I had pointed out that about one in six children has a neurodevelopmental or abnormality or behavioral abnormality. Barbara was saying about one in six children, in addition, has diabetes, and the incidence of juvenile diabetes has skyrocketed. And of course, the government officials say, "Well, we don't know why this is, but trust us." I mean, we wouldn't do it. Nobody would want to hurt children. And then Barbara was saying that when they had the meeting of the Institute of Medicine recently, and they were looking into the background of the relationship between autism and the vaccines, and of course the reason is because of the thimerosal in the vaccines, and thimerosal is mercury, and mercury is one of the most toxic substances for the brain. And the recommendation of the Institute of Medicine was, we shouldn't have any more research. And Barbara was saying she thought that was irresponsible. Would you like to pick up on that idea?
Well, extremely irresponsible. How can any scientific body come to the conclusion there should be no research on a subject as controversial as the link between vaccines and autism and other neurodevelopmental delays? They should be calling for more research. Instead, they're trying to put the cap on the lid on it, just like the vaccine manufacturers and the public health authorities are. They don't want to look at what's happening to these children. You know, at the National Vaccine Information Center here in Vienna, Virginia, we have received reports for 23 years. Parents reporting that their children took in healthy, bright, normally functioning children in to be vaccinated. And these children were given a variety of different vaccines. And then these parents watched their children regress physically, mentally, and emotionally before their eyes. And yet when they took their children to the doctor and told them that their children were sick after vaccination and were deteriorating before their eyes, the doctors were denying that it had anything to do with the vaccines they gave the children. This is because this experience is being repeated over and over again in homes across this country, really in homes around the world, and yet the health authorities and the vaccine manufacturers are denying that the vaccines are causing these problems. This is causing this incredible crisis of trust in the hearts and minds of the people, who simply, it doesn't compute with them, because what they see in front of their eyes is at variance with what the, quote, official published studies is telling them.
Well, in defense of the doctors, and having been a doctor for many years, I could never believe that we would ever do anything that would harm a child. And that was when I was practicing medicine, until I began to have the time to do the study and to read your material and read the other material and then do a lot of research on my own. And then it became increasingly obvious that there seems to be another agenda, but the average doctor doesn't know. In fact, he's really very defensive. He's thinking they're going to sue me if something happens to their child, whereas the parent is just looking for an explanation. The doctor is simply doing what he is told to do by his Academy of Pediatrics or by the U.S. Public Health Service, and this is the standard of care. And if he varies from it, why, he can get into trouble as well. But, I mean, our first obligation is do no harm. That's what they taught me in medical school. And I think doctors, when you hear this story over and over again, you really have an obligation to look at it, especially when I talk to so many doctors whose children have become autistic, and they become believers.
Well, that's true, and I totally agree with you. I agree that pediatricians become pediatricians because they want to keep children well. They want to help children. They don't become pediatricians to hurt children. And I think that there is the psychological and emotional disincentive to believe that a medical procedure that has been recommended by the government, by their mentors at the American Academy of Pediatrics and the AMA, that this procedure that they're doing every day to try to keep a child well would in any way harm a child. The problem is that there is data. There is data that is not shown to the doctors, that's not revealed to the public, unfortunately, that does show that there are many more reactions occurring than the health authorities and the drug companies want people to know about. And it's tragic. Because when the data, when there's no transparency in the way studies are conducted, in the way the government looks at data and the way they report it, when there's no transparency, then and when we ask for the data and we don't get it, that's when you have this crisis of trust that's occurring. And it should well occur.
And it certainly should. And it's not the average doctor. It's the fact that the doctor really doesn't know. But there are people in government who do know. And for one reason or another, they're concealing the information. I think it behooves our listeners to check out the facts. And if once you are convinced that there's a problem, then you have to help educate the doctors. And if enough of the doctors really understood and began to question what they've been told and began to question the U.S. Department of Public Health, which I think is one of the greatest menaces to our health, in this nation, at that point, maybe things will begin to change. Well, Barbara, how can people get information? You know, because they certainly their information is there, and I know you have a tremendous amount of information on this. Where would parents go to get information on vaccination and understand what the real problems are?
Well, of course, we have a website that's one of the largest, and it is the oldest website on vaccine safety, and that's N for national, V for vaccine, I for information, C for center.org, NVIC.org, that has many links to both. We believe that people ought to have all the information, whether it comes from the government or the AAP or other related websites that are questioning vaccination. We believe they should have it all so that they can make an educated decision. And we encourage people to talk to one or more healthcare professionals and get all the information they can before they make a vaccine decision for themselves or for their children.
All right. Well, what about the information that came from Dr. Wakefield? Dr. Wakefield was a gastroenterologist over in England who was doing colonoscopies on these children. He found that many of the children, who were autistic, who had taken the MMR vaccine, had the live, measles virus in their intestine, and they had intense diarrhea associated with it. What's this all about, and how does that fit into all the other theories on the cause of autism?
Yes. Well, Dr. Wakefield, in 1998, published an article in The Lancet, and it questioned the link between the measles, the live measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine, the combo 3-in-1 shot, and the development of inflammatory bowel disease and autism in genetically susceptible children. It caused a tremendous controversy. He was attacked viciously on both sides of the Atlantic because this was the first time that research had been
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.